Everyone will stand for the scriptures. It's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 32 through 38. For ask now of the days that are past, which are before thee, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and ask from the one side of heaven unto the other, whether there had been any such thing as this great thing is, or hath been heard like it. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and live? Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, by temptations, by signs, and by as stretched, and by wonders, and by war, and by a mighty hand, out arm, should be a stretched out arm, and by terrors, according to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Unto thee it was showed that thou mightest know that the Lord, he is God. There is none else besides him. Out of heaven he made thee to hear his voice, that he might instruct thee. And upon earth he showed thee his great fire, and thou heardest his words out of the midst of fire. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt, to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. You may be seated. As is our usual practice in the last 5 weeks, let us first look at a situation or situations troubling the Christian world and then do our study in the book of Deuteronomy. Today's first troubling aspect is that the world beast system is running a Rothschild bank in North Korea, Iran, and Cuba. If they fail getting their bank in these last three countries of the world that are minus a Rothschild-owned or controlled bank, yes, I said the last three countries in the world, then they will do what they have always done. Assassinate the leaders who refuse the bank, and then make war with the country. So which nations are enemies of the United States? North Korea, Iran, and Cuba. In the year 2000, there were eight countries without a Rothschild-owned or controlled central bank. Afghanistan, Iraq, Sudan, Libya, Cuba, North Korea, Iran, and Syria. Then in September of 2001, we had Osama bin Laden, friend of President Bush, attacked the United States while he was seriously ill, living halfway across the world, hiding out in a cave. Almost immediately, he was named as the culprit who devised all this evil. The result? War on Iraq and then Afghanistan. Two countries of the eight without a Rothschild bank. In a short time, they had a bank owned by the Rothschilds, and were eliminated from the list. Then when the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, was in office, she had all the problems with her email being on her personal email account. That just happened to have something to do with another country without a Rothschild bank. Libya was soon marked off the list. Sudan and Syria soon followed, and then there was only three left. And the United States is antagonistic towards all three. Islam forbids the charging of interest, a major problem for the Rothschild banking system. Until a few hundred years ago, charging interest to their brother was also forbidden
in the Christian world,
and was even punishable by death. It was considered exploitation and enslavement and against God's law. Since the Rothschilds took over the Bank of England around 1815, they have been expanding their banking control over all the countries of the world. Their method has been to get a country's corrupt politicians to accept massive loans, which they can never repay, and thus go into debt to the Rothschild banking powers. If a leader refuses to accept the loan, he is oftentimes either ousted or assassinated. And if that fails, invasions can follow, and a Rothschild usury bank is established. The Rothschilds exert powerful influence over the world's major news agencies. By repetition, the masses are duped into believing horror stories about evil villains. The Rothschilds control the Bank of England. They control the Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the Bank of International Settlements. Also, they own most of the gold in the world, as well as the London Gold Exchange, which sets the price of gold every day. It is said the family owns over half of the wealth of the planet, estimated by Credit Suisse to be $231 trillion, and is controlled by Evelyn Rothschild, the current head of the family. Is the United States getting ready to start a war with Iran? North Korea? Is it getting ready to destroy Israel's enemies? To destroy the Iranian central bank so that no one is left to defy Rothschild's money racket. Gee, I hope that war doesn't start until after the NC basketball tournament. How terrible would that be if we couldn't have a chance to crown another college basketball champion? That's a little sarcasm there. I would also like to take a second and talk about the nation's holding a holiday for Martin Luther King Jr., a communist. No, Martin Luther King was not his real name. The third Monday in January is the day we keep for the civil rights anti-Christian leader of the black community. Arizona at first wouldn't hold this holiday, but was punished financially for it. They shortly recanted to now keep it, as do the other states. Have you ever stopped and thought, how did he get to be the leader of the movement? Was he appointed by the Jewish leadership to be the leader that promotes exactly what the Jewish communists want? Let's just look at the last paragraph of his most famous speech, I Have a Dream. The entire speech was published in the Cincinnati Inquirer on Sunday, the day before the holiday. So after church, I went home and I saw this and I read this. Here's what I read. It goes as follows. Quote, "And when this happens, when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children," there comes the bad part, "black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be spiritual, able to join hands and sing in the words of that old Negro spiritual, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last." Unquote. While in college, I did exactly what the old Negro spiritual song advocated. I joined hands with blacks, Orientals, Browns, Muslims, Jews, Protestants, Catholics, non-denominationals, atheists, and sang the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last," unquote. Mr. King implied that everyone and anyone can be God's children today. So do most Christians now. Don't they read the book of Deuteronomy? I didn't know when I was joined hand in hand with that strange mixture of individuals that I was sinning. I believed that all races could be Christian. I was as deceived as anyone. The error of Christendom is that there is no black man that is a Christian. No Chinese man is a Christian. No Polynesian man is a Christian. No Korean is a Christian. It's not their fault, but they were not born in the seed line of Jacob. They are not the covenant people. God was not their king. God did not tell their ancestors to build a temple for him. God did not make a covenant with their fathers. And how could the two enemies from the garden, that's the Garden of Eden, join hands and sing the old Negro spiritual when they have been enemies for over 6,000 years? The same is true for Protestants and Catholics. Why do you think the protest ants were protesting? Remember, the Protestant nations refused to keep the Gregorian calendar for 170 years because it was made by the anti-Christian Pope and a Jesuit. Why was that? It was because the Catholics murdered millions of Protestants because they denied the beliefs of the Catholics, including its Mass. Well, coming home from work on Monday, that was January the 15th, 2018, I was driving home, I was listening to the radio, and they came on a commercial for Martin Luther King Day. It was Martin Luther King Day. They were using parts of his famous sermon, "I Have a Dream," so that picked up my ears. Different teenagers took part of what Martin Luther said about his dream, and they also advocated it in their short speech. The last teenager ended it by saying the following: "I have a dream that all of God's children will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, 'Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.'" Well, what words did the teenagers leave out? Black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, and Protestants and Catholics. If you believe, along with the late Dr. King, that all of God's children are black men and white men, Jews and Christians, Protestants and Catholics, then you can walk hand in hand with your enemies as you celebrate this day. What do you do if you don't believe what Dr. King said was true? You can ignore this special day and weep that your country has moved so far from the laws of God. My conclusion: the United States is a stupid and unwise nation. Now back to our study of Deuteronomy, Moses' farewell address to Israel. Moses starts off by asking a question: "Has anyone ever seen such a thing as has happened to you? You are now alive, and yet you heard the voice of God speaking from the fire. Has anyone heard God speaking audibly to them as a nation? For example, have the Chinese ever in their history heard God speak from a fire to them? have the Indians, have the Hispanics, have the Negroes. The only nation who has ever had this happen was the nation of Israelites at Mount Sinai. What do you think that God would say to his people at this time?
It was really his wedding proposal.
But besides this happening, has any other nation been taken from another nation? Israel was taken out of Egypt just four generations from the covenant that the Lord God made with their fathers. Now I'll quote Genesis chapter 15, verses 13 through 16. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and shall be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Now the four generations were what? Levi was the first, followed by his son Kohath, grandson Amram, and the fourth, Aaron. Four generations. Now I've got a list of a whole big long list of things. You'll have to take the time to study it in the website. You can see from the above chart that Israel spent 215 years in Egypt. But beginning with the mocking of Isaac when he was just 5 years old, that was 400 years from the time that the mocking occurred until Israel was escorted out of Egypt. We must remember that Scripture is never in error. But because we are plagued by minds that are broken due to living in a sin-cursed world, we can never perfectly understand everything. So we must let Scripture shed light on itself. Let's look at the following passages. Genesis 15:13. And he said unto Abram, that's Abraham, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Exodus 12:40-41. Thus the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. That is not correct. I'll tell you that later. Acts chapter 7, verse 6. And God spake on this wise, that his seed shall sojourn in a strange land, and they shall bring forth them into bondage, and shall entreat them evil 400 years. Galatians 3, 16 and 17. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ is not the right word, it is anointed. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. Many commentators over the years have tried to explain these differences with various ideas. One is that biblical authors said 400 years because they were simply rounding to a convenient number, because this was the tradition in ancient times. However, this explanation doesn't make any sense, especially since the Bible is exact in giving ages. And I give some scripture references. In the Septuagint, the original textbook of Exodus 12:40, it says, quote, And the sojourning of the children of Israel, while they sojourned in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan, was 430 years. Now let's look at Exodus 12:40. Now, the sojourning of children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. Then we'll look at the Septuagint. Now, the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt and in the land of Canaan was 430 years. Continuing in our study of Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses asks several questions regarding Israel's past, but gives answers to his questions. Now, how would you answer these questions that was asked by Moses? Do you know, does anybody know of any other race that God wed in a covenant marriage? Or, do you know of any other race that he pulled out of slavery while they were in Egypt? Let's look at what it says about these questions in the book, Racism is Not a Bad Word, written by James Nelson Jester. Quote, the answer to all these questions is no. I don't know of any other race that married God. I don't know of any other race that was pulled out of Egypt. It was only Israel's race that God married by covenant and pulled out of Egypt. This did not apply to the other races. Why? Verse 37 answers, because he loved thy fathers. Therefore he chose their seed after them. This is a racist statement, because God showed preference to a particular seed line. It's found on page 52. So if the Bible teaches that God is a racist, then why does the Young Women's Christian Association, the YWCE, want to eliminate racism? Wouldn't they have to eliminate the Bible too, as it also teaches it? YWCA, eliminating racism, empowering women. Both are against God's law. Both. And if you disagree with the Jewish communists who say that everyone, every race is created equal, then they will call you a racist. Stand Against Racism is a signature campaign of the YWCA, USA, to build community among those who work for racial justice and to raise awareness about the negative impact of institutional and structural racism in our communities. This campaign is one part of their larger national strategy to fulfill their mission of eliminating racism. But does the Young Women's Christian Association advocate a study of the Bible? Does it give biblical support for their views? The Bible is a book that is primarily about race, genetics, and kin. It is about Israel, the covenant seed of Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. The Bible is full of the genealogical records of this seed line. And to deny these records as the inspired word of God is to deny the entire divine revelation. YWCA does it. The Bible shows us that God himself is a racist. His people are to be racist. And Jesus Christ, his apostles, and prophets were all racist. Is the word racism a bad or a good word? Do you take comfort that our racist tendencies are grounded on the law of God, which is naturally written upon our hearts? The problem today is that most of Christendom has no concept of the idea that the Bible is a racial book. They are taught that God loves everybody. They are taught that God loves everybody. They are taught that God loves everybody. And so they involve themselves with foreign missions to help the less fortunate of every race by bringing them into their Christian nations. But race, irrefutably, does play a leading role in Christian civilization. The world, including universal Christendom, teaches their little children this song, and many sing it in Sunday school. You know, the song was written in the middle of the Civil War. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I sang that song when I was a little boy. You probably did too. Can anyone show me a Bible verse that says anything that is close to what the verses of this song is saying? And then we have the Southern Baptist, who in 2015, in a speech given by its president, said the following, quote, "I believe that the issue of racism is from Satan and the demonic forces of hell. Racism is completely opposite from the message of Jesus the Christ. It is completely opposite of the message of dignity, value, and the sanctity of human life. It is completely opposite of the message of reconciliation." The last sentence is true. Well, the YWCA wants to eliminate racism. I see it on TV every time I'm working. YWCA is against racism. That is their mission. The Southern Baptist Church says that racism is of the devil, and they have repented of it. And now this is what is happening in our world. This is also from the book, Racism is a Bad Word, although I didn't give them credit. Africa, home of the blacks. Arabia, home of the Muslims. Asia, home of the Asians. India, home of the Indians. Israel, home of the Jews. Mexico, home of the Mexicans. The white nations, home of the melting pot of all the races of people. Racism is evil. Racism is not evil. Racism is good. We are to be racist. And it's not just us, but the other races are to be racist too. A black person is to be a racist. An Oriental person is to be a racist. An Indian person is to be a racist. A white person is to be a racist. It is the proper definition of racist and racism compared to the improper definition that's the real problem. But the Christian's ancient enemy is a mixed race mongrel. The Kenite, Canaanite, Esauite Jew. They have been a mixed race since Cain married his interracial wife. And everyone who marries into their seed line becomes also a mixed race. Racism does not mean hate. That's what they imply. But racism just means, quote, that all members of each race possess characteristics or abilities specific to that race, especially so as to distinguish it as inferior or superior to another race or races. That's from the Apple Dictionary. For example, if I ask you this question, which race is the most athletic in football, basketball, and track? Would it be racist to indicate that it's the black race? What if I ask you the question, what race is the most proficient in gymnastics? Or what race is the elect of God? It seems there is a major push to get God's people away from what the Bible teaches. Now, who do you think would be interested in doing that? Who does the Bible say has a hatred for us? Who does the Bible say will attempt to turn what is good and make it evil, and what is evil and make it good? Jesus declared, quote, that they should not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine, the teaching, the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's Matthew 16:12b. Is this racism? The YWC is trying to eliminate a doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees, the modern day Jew? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And the Jews themselves say that they are the modern day Pharisees. However, the missing link in Christendom, understanding about the Pharisees, is best supplied. I went to the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia. I thought that's a good source. Here's the quote. The Jewish religion, as it is today, traces its descent without a break through all the centuries from the Pharisees. Their leading ideas and methods found expression in a literature of enormous extent, of which a very great deal is still in existence. The Talmud is the largest and most important single piece of that literature, and the study of it is essential for any real understanding of Phariseeism. Unquote. What do our enemies want us to racially intermix? Why do our enemies want us to racially intermix? They are even making it easier for us to do so by bringing the other races into our country and telling us that all races are equal. They are making it easier for us to do because it is now legal to intermarry any person of any race in all the white nations of the world. They hate our race because they were once in the covenant, but now are cast out of it because they mixed their seed. That's what the Bible teaches. If they were to be successful, then the people of God would have to no longer exist. And if that happened, God is a liar. And if that would happen, then they would be rulers of the world. For if the heir dies, then they think they would be next in line, which is the way that they think. Let's look at Deuteronomy 4:37 again. And because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. Who does the YWCA think this verse is talking about? Whose fathers? Whose seed? Who was brought out of Egypt with God's mighty power? It wasn't everybody. It wasn't every race. It was just one people. It was racist. God loved the fathers of the Israel people. That would be they loved Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now look at a verse in the New Testament, Acts 3:13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, and when he was determined to let him go. Peter, the apostle of the Lord, refers to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers. He is known in the Bible as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of Israel, the God of our fathers, the God of heaven, the God of the holy prophets, etc. These are all racist terms. They are not hateful, but they're all true. To change his name will not make it right. For example, he is not anywhere in the Bible called the God of the Chinese. The Lord God of Israel is strictly the white man's God. He is not called the God of Abraham and Ishmael and his seed. He is not called the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Esau and his seed. But he is repeatedly called over and over in the Bible as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob and his seed. That is racist because it shows a partiality of God towards a certain peculiar race. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It's New Testament now. Quote, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not attained mercy, but now have attained mercy." Who are these people that the Apostle Peter is writing to? It was to the strangers, racial sojourners, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. 1 Peter 1, 1b, 2a. But the Judeo-Christian, the universalists say, the 1 Peter 1, verse 10, indicates that these people were not the people of God, but are now the people of God. They must be non-Israelites, or in their way of thinking, Gentiles. But in all the Bibles that I own, they all have a cross-reference with this verse to the first chapter of Hosea in the Old Testament. The first chapter of the book of Hosea is talking about the Orientals, or the blacks, or the browns. No, Hosea is talking about the northern kingdom of the house of Israel, who forsook the Lord due to her own adulterous acts of having other gods. God divorced them, and they became without mercy, no longer his people, scattered throughout the earth. God tells Hosea that she, Israel, will be scattered and will have no mercy and will not be my people. In other words, they will be divorced from God. But there will be a restoration. Hosea chapter 1, verse 10. "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it is said unto thee, ye are not my people, then it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God." Hosea chapter 2, verse 23. "And I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them who were not my people, thou art my people. And they shall say, thou art my God." Peter is quoting the book of Hosea and telling us that this is being fulfilled in his day. He was preaching the gospel or good news of the kingdom to the formerly divorced house of Israel. Peter was preaching to his kin. He was a racist. Psalm 139, verse 21a. "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee." Who hated the Lord? Who did the psalmist David hate? David continues his thought by saying that he hates them with perfect hatred. and counts them as his enemies.
Is this racism?
To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.